Chapter 20. For Those Who Are Dead. Zaul stood before the emitter, Gorog Krask and one of his Terminators flanking him on either side. The armor of the Terminators was badly scorched and carried several fresh gouges, but it had been the difference between life and death as the launch bays were blasted apart. A retreat had been the appropriate response from Shipmaster Rain, even if it did rankle with Zaul. No legionary would ever run from a fight, especially one recruited to the 18th. But Rain had been protecting the Chalice of Fire, and Zaul could not deny the sagacity of that. A short warp jump had taken them to the edge of the system, a chance to lick their wounds and make necessary repairs. The return had been cautious, via the slow burn of plasma engines. The fact that they had encountered an Iron Hand ship had been unexpected. Zaul nodded for the emitter to be engaged, and a beam of grainy grey light filtered from the receiver array, in turn projecting the image of a severe-looking veteran with a face half of iron and a glinting bionic in place of one eye. His beard resembled a piece of angular shrapnel, and when he spoke, his voice resonated with the inhumanity of a machine. It felt cold on the bridge when compared to the heat of the forges far below, but as Zaul listened to the words of the Holocaust veteran, who explained how he had taken a band of salamanders into his custody until the veracity of their identities could be established, the chaplain found the fire of his anger burning the chill away. "A transport is inbound," he told the veteran, "to escort our brothers back to their legion." He severed the emitter feed as the veteran gave a solemn nod of acquiescence, but could not shake his fury or the disquiet he felt. "Is that it?" asked Krask, as the light from the emitter faded and the shadows of the bridge reasserted themselves around its command dais. The crew, as well as Shipmaster Rain, who had listened to the exchange in silence aboard his throne, faded too, as the near darkness swallowed them. Zaul's eyes glowed against the blackness. "For now, I will speak with Obek before acting further." He called out to Rain. "Shipmaster!" The answer came swiftly.
"I cannot be certain, Chaplain."
Zaul still had the case clasped to his belt, and his gauntleted fingers glanced against the metal as he reached for spiritual reassurance.
"It could not be," he whispered,
and left the bridge with Krask, bound for the secondary embarkation deck. Ulok had consented to the return of their weapons, so a fully armed cadre of salamanders made ready in one of the Obstinate's arming chambers. Only Obek had been summoned to the assembly hall before both parties would part ways. The Iron Father was already waiting for him.
"I offer my sincerest regret at having taken you under guard. But during such fell times as these, it is hard to tell friends from enemies."
Obek nodded, expecting to be met by a cohort of Medusan immortals, but finding the Iron Father alone, though he felt certain that Morrikan was lurking somewhere in the shadows.
"I do not disagree."
"You're injured, are still in the Apothecarium," offered Ulok, "and you are at liberty to see them. But Sarion has advised against their removal from his ministrations. Unless you have an apothecary amongst your ranks."
"We did. His name was Faisho," Obek replied grimly. "But he is amongst the dead."
Ulok nodded, sympathetic.
"And not the only one, I'm afraid. Not all survived. I'm sorry, Brother Captain. You have suffered much."
"No more than your legion."
A dark cast came over the Iron Father's face, his mouth tightening into a grim line.
"Though I would see my stricken brothers," said Obek.
"It shall be done,"
Ulok replied, bowing as if in concession. When he raised his head again, a question lingered in his eye.
"I have one further ask of you, Brother Captain, if you will hear of it."
"Very well."
"The renegades who attacked you, they are led by an adept of the Mechanicum."
"Led? I saw a captain amongst their ranks."
"Nonetheless, the adept leads them. He goes by the name Regulus, though he has a longer binaric designation you would not understand."
Obek gritted his teeth, but Ulok seemed not to notice.
I encountered him. His bodyguard did this, he said, and gestured with the bionic that stood in place of flesh and blood.
Regulus is within the War Master's inner circle, and occupies a position of influence aboard his flagship. As a fount of knowledge, he is almost unparalleled, a veritable oracle. I want to extract that knowledge, and with it find a way to kill Horus.
One of the renegades, Rako Solomus, said Horus had already won, but Terra had fallen.
A lie. He was taunting you. The war isn't over, Obek. But kill the War Master, and it will be.
Obek waited for Ulok to laugh, to reveal a further facet of his madness and confess how his words were meant in jest.
You are serious, he said, eyes wider.
Horus is not a god. He can be killed.
Isn't he? His followers think he does the will of gods. He is still a Primarch, the Emperor's chosen son by the throne.
Not anymore. I have been hunting Regulus for a long time, Ulok told him. It was how we came to that world in the first place. We have been following his trail. Estranged from the War Master's side, from his main fleet, I knew I would get no better chance to capture him.
Obek frowned.
And yet you didn't. I admit I thought he was dead. I saw him destroyed.
Aversion only. He has many, to widen his reach and confuse his foes. But close by there will be a prime. His primogenitor vessel. The other renegades will take us to it. Our long-range augurs have been monitoring the planet and detected a ship inbound. The Regulus Prime will be aboard that ship.
If each incarnation is a version of this adept, then why not simply take the one at the Rort, or send forces to capture it now?
It must be the Prime. A facsimile can be abandoned, but if we have the Prime, there will be nowhere for Regulus to escape to.
And if there is more than one Prime? Have you considered that?
There is one, and one alone.
This is reckless, Ulok.
No, it is logical. It is the only action that makes any sense.
Obek considered it, wondering if he truly had a choice. Ulok made trusting him very difficult, but Obek could not in good conscience simply deny his request.
What is it you ask of us?
Ulok's eye narrowed.
Your fury, and will to fight until the bitter end, Captain. I plan to attack the renegade vessel, but need a second force to infiltrate its heart, as a larger, major assault is taking place.
I have my own mission.
To escort your relics, Ulok nodded. The armory is no longer viable. It has been denuded of worth. A cache I fully intend to share with its rightful legion, but my war host also has need of it. Where will you take your relics now?
Obek had to concede that was a salient question. The salient question.
There are other salamander's strongholds, like Geryon Deep, other places the relics can be kept safe.
And are these strongholds nearby? Can you reach them alone in your ship?
Asked Ulok, opening his hands in an expressive gesture.
Or would an outrider, a warship with a heavy garrison aboard, enhance your chances of reaching your safe hold? I can offer you that.
And compromise your proposed attack on Horus? Geryon Deep is far from Terra.
Join us, Obek. Become a part of the Shattered Legions. You are alone in the void and in need of allies. Join with me, fight for us, and your concerns shall become my concerns, and together we will see them done. None could be greater than removing the head of the serpent himself.
He held out his bionic hand.
Join us, at least in the attack on the renegades. Take your vengeance for all you have suffered at their hands, and I shall see your sacred mission fulfilled, and the relics you carry escorted to their rightful place. This oath I swear to you.
A brief silence fell between them as Obek considered his decision. Ulok seemed part logistician, part zealot. It made him unpredictable. His plan to kill Horus was insane. No assassins could get close. No throne-allied legion fleet would even dare. Ubek could think of only one Primarch, volatile enough and still allied to the throne, who would be willing to do it. And he was dead. To attempt such a thing, even with the supposed knowledge that Regulus possessed, was suicide. But then he suspected Ulok and his shattered Legion brothers had embraced and accepted that fatalistic notion long ago. But Ubek did want vengeance, and his oath-bound duty was to kill the enemies of the Imperium, and there were none greater than Horus's own legion. He firmly clasped the Iron Father's arm in the warrior's grip. Ulok reciprocated, and the bond was made.
"We'll help you take the ship and capture the Adept. Then I shall hold you to your word about escorting us. I will not agree to the attack on Horus. I cannot. I am still 18th Legion, and after my mission is done, I plan to return to Nocturne and Prometheus. We can agree on what you need from the Rort later."
Ulok nodded agreement. His grip was firm, unyielding, and as he released Ubek again, his lips parted in a thin smile.
"You're wounded."
Ubek started, about to pull away, but Ulok held firm for a moment longer.
"I will have a servo skull direct you to the apothecarian," said Ulok. "You still wish to see them, I take it? I won't deny you."
Ulok released him, and Ubek nodded. He thought of Tekel and of the mission, his brothers aboard the Chalice of Fire. Refusing Ulok's request had felt unwise. Honor bound him to the shattered legions now, regardless of where it might lead.
"Yes," he said,
and sensed his grip loosening on his own fate and those of his brothers. Since their meeting in the workshop, Ubek had not seen Aram Gallicus again. In fact, as he followed a servo skull to the apothecarian, he did not see another Medusan immortal or any Iron Hands legionary at all. Regardless, he felt eyes upon him, and not from the mechanized drone. Morrican.
"He wants me to know he sees me," thought Ubek,
but his mind swiftly wandered to Gallicus's cryptic behavior.
"No rest. None at all."
Ubek could not discern its meaning, and the Medusan had not elaborated further as he affixed the bionic the salamander's captain now wore in place of his severed arm. He reached the apothecarian, the servo skull hovering noisily above the entrance, and he consigned his thoughts on the matter to later consideration. The apothecarian door slid open with a faint hiss of pressure. Several drakes awaited him. Not all were alive. One of the living drakes stood before him now, his white armor bearing a single shoulder guard, but unmistakably draconic in aspect.
"You are Sarin."
The apothecary gave the slightest incline of his head.
"Brother Captain, it is my honor," he said. "It has been a long time since I met another of my legion. Before..."
He gestured sadly to the fallen salamanders. Faishou lay beneath a veil, his blood staining the gossamer-like material. He had been stripped of his armor, as had all of the salamander's legionaries. He was not the only fatality either. Ubek murmured oaths for them all. The rest were unconscious, deep in suspended animation comas, and would not soon be roused, but it appeared they would live. Tekel's fate was much more uncertain, and Ubek came to his side last of all.
"Forgefather," he murmured,
his gauntleted fingers poised above the wound in the Tech Marine's skull. Now he saw it. Ubek realized what Tekel had done, what he had to do.
"You were purging the infection, ridding yourself of the Adept's influence."
He gently closed his hand and withdrew it.
"At such cost."
Sarian spoke up, intruding on Obek's reverie.
"After Istvan, I had begun to lose hope that I would ever see my legion again."
"None?"
asked Ubek, fighting down the pang of regret at the mention of the drop site massacre.
"Well, not amongst your shattered legions?"
"We were scattered after the attack. I fled aboard the Obstinate, some of my brothers also, but none survived,"
he said, his mood darkening.
"Since then, we have remained isolated, fighting against the rebels where we can. To gather together, it would only ensure our swift destruction." I've met others like you, Sarian. Those who had joined the Shattered Legions. A few returned to Nocturne. Their tidings grave, I'm afraid.
A Vulcan? Sarian asked, though his tone suggested he knew the answer. Obeck nodded.
His body. It has since been returned to Deathfire.
Sarian looked grave, but he swiftly marshalled his grief.
Is that how you also came back to Nocturne? Were you amongst the Istvan survivors?
Obeck found he could not meet the apothecary's gaze.
No, that was not our fate. We have been garrisoned at Prometheus, standing watch.
And the burden of that has lain heavy upon you?
It has.
Obeck regarded the prone form of Tekel.
It still does. Rest assured, brother, said Sarian softly. They will be well tended to.
I can attest to that.
Zen emerged into the apothecarium from a meditation cell, still fatigued but greatly recovered. He stood without his armor, and his skin glistened like oil, his wounds like tears in the black. But Obeck was not looking at his battle wounds.
Your honor, Bran's brother. They are removed.
Zen bowed his head, but Obeck looked to Sarian.
At his request? Unscarred at last, said Obeck, returning his attention to his vexillary.
I am unworthy of them.
You are worthy of my respect, Obeck replied,
clapping Zen on the shoulder. He drew a sword from his scabbard, a green spatha with a serrated blade.
And worthier of this than I.
Zen took the proffered hilt reverently.
I am eager to rejoin my brothers, Captain, as Drakos is to rejoin his.
And you shall, vexillary. They have need of you. Sarin,
he turned to the apothecary.
The servo-skull who brought you here will take you to an arming chamber. The vexillary's weapons and repaired war plates will be there.
Obeck nodded in gratitude. He had judged these legionaries falsely. They were a beaten blade, battered, hard to trust but still true for all of that. He could not explain the shield-bearer's behavior, but then there was much about the warriors of the Obstinate that was more unconventional than Aurum Gallicus.
We have a saying, he said to the apothecary. You will not have heard it.
Obeck hoped the words would bring him solace.
Vulcan lives.
Aurum Gallicus sat alone in the darkness of the reliquary. It had been a long time since any legionary had been inducted here, and those interred had been reduced to wasted flesh on bone, their augmetics removed and repurposed. Amongst the honored dead, Gallicus found a measure of peace and used the solitude to meditate. He had almost been too rash in trusting the Drake. He barely knew him or his warriors, but a faint hope still burned within. He counseled himself caution, knowing the silent was ever watchful. His shield stood before him like an unwelcome guest, a symbol of his shame and failure. Gallicus remembered the Retiarius and the World-Eaters. He remembered Azoth as he was, a Frater Ferrum who had been reduced to a shield-bearer like him. Neither of them could have known there was greater dishonor to come.
I will end this,
he whispered to the darkness and to Azoth, his cold bones and those of his brother revenants by now held in cryostasis until the call to war sounded again. Ulok had created the chamber aboard the ship. He had unlocked an avenue of prescribed research and turned the keys of hell. Few knew the inner workings of the mausoleum, but Ulok had been forced to confide in a small cadre of Iron Brothers to perpetuate its continued function. It could not simply be deactivated. Numerous safeguards had been put in place to prevent this. Similarly, it had its own power source, separate from that of the ship. Gallicus knew of only two ways to effectively sabotage the cryovault. Destroy the ship, or find a servant of the Omnissiah greater than Ulok.
A betrayal.
Did its end justify its means, he wondered. Had Horus faced a similar dilemma? Rising to his feet, Gallicus gripped the breacher shield and slung it onto his arm. He knew he had no choice.
I will end this.